as, for instance, the kind of speeches they made. They gave no program. They gave no message. They alienated the women. They gave nothing for the farmers. They thought they could hoodwink the small farmers and the peasant proprietors by speaking in ambivalent terms. And their contradictions. And apart from that, their threats that they will not accept the democratic verdict, that they will not accept Supreme Court decisions, a variety of factors played on the psychic of the people of the Punjab to give us that extra 10%.
How the government proceeds with these allegations? Will there be a commission of inquiry to investigate allegations both made by members of your own party as well as the opposition, or will it be left in the political
arena? The election commission has full powers under the constitution. At no time except now as an afterthought, they have said that they have invoked the intervention of the election commission on a major scale. Otherwise, allegations have been made by both parties, telegrams and all have been sent by both parties to the election commission. There is the election commission in the first place. Then there are the courts of law. The high court, they can go in a writ to the high court. They can go in a writ following that to the Supreme Court.
Do you agree that with this point of view that if the opposition, PNA, would come to power, this would lead finally to a military coup d'etat in Pakistan?
Why should it lead to a military coup d'etat in Pakistan? We have held elections, and this should strengthen the democratic process.
No, if the PNA would come to power, not PPP.
If the PNA, but the election results are before you.
No, but do you agree with this? If they would come to power, this would lead.
But that question you could have asked me before the 7th of March. It's no use asking me that question now.
This time there has been a fairly large number of PPP candidates that were heavily opposed by you in 1970, while on the other hand, quite a few of your former followers who used to be labeled as progressive left-wing PPP people have left you in the meantime. Have you somewhat fallen back on the traditional establishment to play safe this time?
No, not at all. The question is this, that not all that many have left the party, as you might believe. There haven't been very many. Some of them who call themselves communists, with all due respect, well, perhaps I did not come up to the expectations. But I never told them ever, when I formed the party, that I was going to promote a communist program or that I was a communist. I never told them that. I told them that I believe in socialism, democratic socialism. And so if they felt that my philosophy or outlook was different, well, I respect them for having left the party. If they want to have their own point of view, they can do it by forming a new party or by some other means. But I never deceived them or told them that I believed in their outlook. On the contrary, I made it quite clear to them that I believe in modern socialistic program, democratic socialistic program. And they joined me. It served their interests at that time to fight the dictatorship of Ayub Khan. Afterwards, they wanted me to proceed on certain lines. I said, no, I had made it clear to you that this was not my method or this was not my approach. I didn't subscribe to these views. And I respect them for part of the parting of the ways. That can happen in France tomorrow if there are communist-socialist coalition. They can continue the coalition. They might not. They might leave the coalition. So that happens. So that is understandable from that point of view. Some others who left, they were neither socialists nor they were communists. They were opportunists. And they wanted to promote their careerists. And so some of those people left.
Mr. Prime Minister, you have not yet mentioned your main opponent in these elections. And now he has called you today a fascist and a dictator. How do you rate these remarks, and what do you think of Mr. Asghar Khan personally, especially as far as his qualification as a politician is concerned?
I don't know. He's been elected from two places, and so from that point of view, he has for the first time come into the political category, so to speak. Before that, it was not that he was in politics. I would not like to say anything which might appear to be derogatory or critical of him or anyone else at this stage. Whether I am a fascist, well, that is for my whole political career and my record, and for you to judge whether I am a fascist or I am not a fascist, or whether I am a semi-fascist or a semi-democrat. I am not going to say that he is right or wrong. I am not going to answer his charges, because he has made some of the wildest and wickedest kind of allegations. And I'm not going to stoop to his level of politics. That's not my concept of politics. That's not my brand of politics. I believe that a person who has given democracy, elections, constitution to the country, and it believes in this process, would not be one of the favorites of either Mussolini, Hitler, or Franco. But that's a different matter. I don't think so. And as far as his own political acumen is concerned, the 8 weeks of election campaign would make you come to your own conclusion.
So do you have any plan to call the National Assembly sometime this month? Or
I will certainly call the National Assembly to session.
This month, sir?
I don't know exactly when, but soon.
Your confidence in the democratic process strengthened. Do you envisage to go further on the road of democratization?
Of course, naturally.
Especially, for instance, with regard to the Pakistan press?
Yes, that is a part of the process.
Sir, given the strength of the mandate that you received, could you outline for us any new, bold, new initiatives that you might take in any matter of government?
I will have to hold a meeting of my central committee soon, and may meet the members of the National Assembly. After that, we will chalk out our plan of action. But I don't see any immediate bold initiative that we would envisage.
Mr. Prime Minister, going back to your campaign, you have said in one of your speech that you have two great tasks left in front of you, you wanted to accomplish in your new term of office, and you will reveal them one day. Could we now know what these two tasks are?
There are tasks that relate to a national importance and a national consolidation, and they relate to Pakistan's fundamental interests.
Prime Minister, last year in one of your interviews you talked about presidential form of government.
What?
Presidential form of government, and compared with the parliamentary form of government. After these elections, do you intend to introduce this parliament presidential form of government in your country?
That was a question asked in an academic sense, and I've said it before. The question was put to me in an academic sense, comparing the two systems. And the correspondent was asking me for a comparison of the two systems, and I answered his question. But we have a parliamentary form of government. We have given the country a parliamentary constitution, and it has worked for the last 5 years fairly well, and I hope that it will continue to work well in the future.
Mr. Prime Minister, are you going to go ahead with the idea of having a third world summit, and how has been the response so far?
You see, the third world summit proposal was made by me last May. And since then, a number of countries have supported it, stage by stage. Recently also, the President of Romania went to some African states, and he supported the Third World Summit, and in joint communiques with those states, they supported it. Iran has co-sponsored the Third World Summit. I believe that there will be a growing support for this conference. I think in some respects it is inevitable. because I envisage that the other conferences that are now being held, like the Paris conference or other such conferences, they are not qualitatively of that nature which the third world requires for articulating its point of view. And if the industrialized countries have had summit conferences for on two occasions and are now proposing to have a third one, it is but logical for those who are not industrialized countries to also articulate their point of view. So I believe that there will be a growing groundswell for a third world conference.
Ms. Pam, myself, general correspondent, I think I have a certain idea what pressure the Washington government puts on the Bonn government regarding the nuclear deal between West Germany and Brazil. Now, has that kind of pressure increased in Pakistan in the context of your order of a French reprocessing plant?
No, you see, the point is that first the question arose in the American presidential elections. It became a live issue then. I mean, it became an active issue. At that time, the Americans were having their elections. Well, when their elections were over, soon we were to have our elections. And certainly we cannot discuss these matters while we are having elections. Now that elections are over in our country, I suppose that at some stage Pakistan and the United States will enter into a dialogue on this matter, because the Americans have expressed an interest in a discussion on the subject, and we are prepared for a discussion on the subject.
Would that indicate that you could imagine a situation in which you would say we renounce this deal and we do not go ahead with the order?
No, how can you go so far? I mean, you put me one question and you jump to a conclusion. I'm not going to jump to any conclusions. I said I'm prepared for a discussion, a bona fide, genuine discussion on the subject. And beyond that, I cannot say anything at this point of time. You know, we have an agreement with the French, and I'm prepared to discuss this agreement threadbare with the United States administration. Beyond that, I cannot say anything.
So you have said that your mandate was confirmed mainly by workers, peasants, women, and other strata of society. Do you propose to do something else to pursue this policy of improvement a lot of these classes or these strata? Some specific measures?
Well, certainly. Now, as I said, it's too early for me. My government hasn't yet been formed. And secondly, we have to hold a meeting of our party and other things. But obviously, we are committed to the class you have mentioned. We are committed to their welfare. They constitute the majority of the people. And we are fully committed to their improvement of their life, improvement of their conditions. And we stand by them.
Prime Minister, do you anticipate changes in your government or your administration during your second term?
Yes, I would naturally expect that there would be changes.
In terms of cabinet formation in the next few days?
Yes. When we form the cabinet, I'll have to take ministers from the new assembly, and there will be some changes.
Minister, to go back to the nuclear subject, can you foresee any reopening of discussions with the Canadian government with regard to the problem which you have there?
Well, I don't know why the Canadians took such a strong position on this matter. We have very good relations with the Canadians, but the Canadians feel that they've burnt their fingers in relation to their nuclear agreements with the Indians, and as such they are very sensitive about future agreements, and so I don't anticipate any major development with the Canadian government on this matter